but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
So you know how when you have like an appliance, you buy an appliance at, you know, whether it's Costco or Home Depot or Lowe's or an appliance retailer, you buy an appliance and they give you like a window for the delivery. Ordered a dryer online. I'm not gonna say which place because I'm not advocating for one or the other, but I'm just say this. You can get a hot dog for $1.50 and a Coke at the place that I got it at. But they gave us a delivery window of 4 to 6 p.m., which kind of, it works in some ways because, you know, I'm going to be around. But it also doesn't work because, you know, what am I doing? 3 to 6, I'm hosting a radio show. So it was with great delight that this morning, the window got updated, and they said, hey, 2 p.m. Expect at 2 p.m. now. And then what happened at 2 p.m. is they didn't show up. And then right at about 2:50, right before the show, Stephen, delivery of dryer. I'm in Studio X, okay? I'm trying to do the show. Get ready for the show, and you know, I got these guys who are, bless them, they've been working since 6 a.m. delivering appliances, who are lugging a dryer, and I just said to them, hey, no need to hook it up. I'll hook it up later because I kind of got to go, and no explanation needed. And then I got to give credit to the retailer. Got a phone call right after they left, and they said, hey, call us back. We're happy to come back at your leisure and set this thing up. I thought that was good customer service. It goes a long way. Good customer service goes a long way. Take care of your consumer, and your consumer will take care of you. In the sports world, I think that is an axiom that I think needs to be followed as well. And, you know, Portland has long been known as one of the LPGA stops. The Portland Classic has been a golf event that has been, you know, it's moved around. It'll be held in August 14th through the 17th, coming up at Columbia Edgewater Country Club. It's now called the Standard Portland Classic. The Standard is the new title sponsor. The purse has been raised to $2 million. You got a bunch of different sponsors, the ticket package they've got with the Thorns, so you can get tickets to both the tournament and the Thorns rain game that's happening on August 10th. The Sports Bra, the bar that is dedicated to airing women's sports. It's going to have a pop-up bar on hole 15. You can buy a ticket for $65, which gets you into the tournament, but gets you into the pop-up, gets you some shaded seating, and a free cocktail. You've also got, for every ticket purchased for the Friday of the event at Columbia Edgewater Country Club, $5 goes towards the Sunshine Division. Nancy Lopez will be out there. Julie Inkster will be playing. But Family Fun Zone, a lot to talk about. And, of course, here to talk about it, we have a guest. Mark Ganz is joining us. For those of you who know the name, he's been involved with the event over the years, but he is the board chair of the Standard Portland Classic, and he's joining us now. How are you, Mark?
I'm great, John. Thanks very much for having me on.
I love that. You sound like you're right next to me. Great technology. I love that. But give us an idea. I mean, this event has been held at different places. There's been a lot of questions about it. What do you tell people when they say, hey, okay, it's back at Columbia Edgewater? You know, what do you tell people about the event?
Well, what I tell them is that it's the longest running LPGA event on their calendar in a single city or region. 54 years counts for a lot. It hasn't always been easy, but we've worked really hard. And the Tournament Golf Foundation that I have the honor of being the board chair for, they started this tournament back in 1972. It started at Portland Golf Club because a lot of the original members of the Tournament Golf Foundation came out of that club. And they had a vision that women should have just as much of an opportunity to play professional golf as men, and they were going to make that happen here in Portland. And so they launched, and in the same year, the Dyna Shore, which was a major, launched that year as well. And so it's kind of nice to be the granddaddy of the LPGA schedule. That's one thing I say. The second thing I say is that, you know, we're a not-for-profit organization. The sole focus and only reason for being for the Tournament Golf Foundation is to put this tournament on every year. And we have this among the top three, and I don't know where we are, 3, 2, or 1, in terms of the breadth of our sponsor base. We have some 60 sponsors, almost all of them local regional companies that care about women's sports and women's golf. And so we've only been at, I guess we've been at 4 courses over 54 years. Columbia Edgewater has by far been the most long running. It started at Portland Golf Club and moved to Columbia Edgewater. Then for 3 years, way back, gosh, I want to say in the 90s, it moved to Pumpkin Ridge for 3 years. But the players didn't much care for the Ghost Creek side. You know, they played the U.S. Open, Women's Open, twice on the Witch Hollow side, but the Portland Classic was on the Ghost Creek side. So then my predecessors moved it back to Columbia Edgewater, where it stayed and was stable except for the 1 year, which happened to be our 50th anniversary, where the there was, because of the homeless problems out near Columbia Edgewater, it really wasn't safe to have the tournament there, at least as we, in a consultation with the LPGA, we just decided it needed to move that year. And we thought we were going to move for 3 years to the Oregon Golf Club, because they were, and they were great. But it was a little rainy. As you may know, that course is very steep. Mm-hmm. And the players hated that course. They just, I mean, we were basically told by the LPGA, yeah, you can have it there again, but if you do, we'll take you off the schedule. In other words, they pretty much said, we're not going back there. And that forced our hand. And fortunately, the Oregon Golf Club was, they were really, they understood. They didn't like it any more than we did, but they understood the reality, and they were supportive of this tournament staying in Portland. And so we moved it back to Columbia Edgewater, and they have been fantastic. And, you know, we're full steam ahead. And
I like, you know, I like what you said, Mark. I mean, you know, I had heard and I had seen, you know, everybody who had sort of been in different pockets of Portland had seen the problems with the tarps and the tents and homelessness. And as you're driving into what is a beautiful golf course, you know, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing thing to see, you know, sort of what was going on in Portland. How much of that has been cleaned up in, as you sort of drive around the area around Columbia Edgewater?
Very clean. The city, I think, finally recognized the problems out there. I think the Port of Portland was a good partner with Columbia Edgewater and other locals in saying, come on, this is ridiculous. And so they did finally clean it up, and they made it stick. And so that huge encampment that was there is pretty much gone, far as I know. Riverside Country Club was also affected, which is out near there. and several businesses. So that's, you know, that finally they took care of that, I want to say, well over a year and a half ago, and it's continued to stay cleaned up. So, you know, we're just thrilled to be at Columbia Edgewater. They've been great partners. They have a great membership. And I will say this, the players, I've gotten to know many of the players from the time when my former company, Cambia, was the title sponsor. And then when I took this role as chair of Tournament Golf Foundation, I regularly talk to players and ask for their feedback and what do they like and what would they like to see different. And over again, from top, you know, number one player in the world, you know, down the way, they say Columbia Edgewater is in their top five courses they play all year. And many of them said it was their number one. It's a great course. Great course.
Let me ask you this. The event goes out, you know, leaves Columbia Edgewater. You're thinking, you know, you're making the change that's for the good, but I've been on that course. It is, you know, you're hiking, and it's, you know, I can't imagine LPGA players who are used to being on other sorts of terrain liking that, particularly when the weather was challenging as well. When the LPGA says, hey, you can stay there, but if you do, we're not going to come with you. I mean, that has to get the attention of you and the sponsors and everybody who loves this legacy event, wants it to continue.
Yeah, it got our attention for sure. And, you know, they were nice about it, and I like very much the people at the LPGA, but one of the things that distinguishes that organization from, say, the PGA or some of the others is they are of, by, and for the players. They haven't gotten over-corporatized, and, you know, they listen to the feedback from the players. And if the weather had been good, maybe we wouldn't have had complaints. And it's funny, that year, John, the number one player in the world won the tournament. So it was, and if you looked at the leaderboard on Sunday, it was pretty much who you would have expected, cream rising to the top. So the course produced champions, you know, a champion in the way that a course should produce it. They just didn't enjoy it. And the caddies for many of the players were particularly vocal because they were slipping and sliding trying to carry those bags. So they, you know, Columbia Edgewater is, you know, it's got some terrain, but the defense of the course is more the subtlety of the greens and some well-placed bunkers, but it's mainly the subtlety of the greens. And the players really like that challenge.
Again, we are talking with Mark Gantz. He is the CEO of the event, Portland Classic, the Standard Portland Classic. That's a three-year deal with the Standard. How important is it to have a title sponsor that comes in like that?
We are so grateful to the Standard. And, you know, I was very proud of the 8 years that Cambia was the title sponsor because we took it over when Safeway backed out. Safeway had a merger, was bought out by private equity, and they dropped us like a bad penny. It was, and gave us almost no time, no lead time. And so I wasn't involved with the tournament at the time. As you recall, when Safeway owned it, they owned all of it. They didn't want any other sponsors other than their own suppliers. And so it was more of a Safeway event than a Portland event. And my vision when I was CEO of Cambia was we need to return this back to being a Portland event. And that's when we returned the name. Instead of putting Cambia's name on it, we put Portland's name on it and made it the Portland Classic again. And then our time as title sponsor was all about expanding the scope from just a sporting event to really a women's, our goal was to have it be the premier women's gathering in Portland every year, with the golf tournament as kind of the platform for that. And we were largely very successful. We launched a very successful and women's leadership event, and that has been getting bigger and more and more people coming because it's really a quality event. And that's something we're very proud of. We're really excited about the Standard joining us because they get it. They understand and want to support women athletes being given the opportunities that male athletes have. John, I wonder if you know this little factoid. It blew me away when I was told this by the LPGA, but I've come to believe it with my own experience. Do you know that for every dollar spent on either college or professional sports, 93 cents goes to male sports and only 7 goes to female sports? Now, I think, you know, we're blessed in this generation to not only have phenomenal women golfers, but we've got phenomenal women athletes who are shining in their own sports, you know, Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese and others that are really bringing, and that's causing people and more importantly, sponsors to notice that, gee, women's sports is and should be supported the same as men's sports. So I'm hoping that 93 cents maybe goes down to 83 cents and then just keeps moving in that direction. When I was CEO of Cambia, we just made a decision that we were going to change that and by example. And so we went the other way. We said we're going to commit at least 90 cents of every sponsorship dollar we spend on women's sports at the collegiate and professional level. And just because I felt like somebody needed to make a statement and do it because it was the right thing to do. But, you know, having a title sponsor like the Standard has given us the ability to raise the purse. We need to raise that purse even more because we want women to be paid as close to equally as men for doing the same work.
And help us understand, Mark, help us understand, when you get $2 million as a purse, I'm looking at sort of the level of golfers that are going to come to this event, and one that jumps off the page at me is, you know, a former Stanford star, Rose Zhang, who will be there. But you've got, you know, in the top 80, you know, you've got golfers who are the 9, 10, 11, 12 best golfer in the world, you know, and how do you get all the best golfers in the world to this event? How much money does that person need to be?
$5 million. That's where we're aiming, is we've got to get it. I mean, but we're not going to get there in one fell swoop, but unless we find a sponsor that's willing. I mean, but one of the things I've been stressing with potential sponsors is, you know, why don't you make a key part of your sponsorship that you are increasing the purse and really publicize that, make that a really key, because it's a great story. And when you think about that, we have a $2 million purse, and at the elevated events on the PGA, the winner makes $2 million, you know, and then everybody else makes a lot of money down below that. I mean, the scale, we just have so far to go to get women to a, you know, something closer to par with male golfers, and they should get there. And so we're committed to doing that. So that requires sponsorship support. So the good news, we have one of the broadest sponsor bases, I said in the top three of all LPGA tournaments. The not so good news is they're all at smaller levels, except for the Standard. And then a couple others, you know, Cambia is still very involved with the tournament, not at the spot at the title level. Umpqua Bank's involved with the tournament. And, you know, Les Schwab, I could go on, but I don't want to keep going on because I might forget somebody that really feel like, well, why didn't you mention
me? For sure.
Me?
Yeah, for sure.
But the point being is that we need to have a title, a presenting, a pro-am, you know, and, you know, it, and those are all kind of at, they're not at preordained levels, but I kind of know where that should be. And we're really pleased that the Standard has stepped up and they're a true title. And they are leaning in. Amy from the Standard has just been awesome to work with. She gets it. She's committed. She's creative. She and her team. And we're going to have a great partnership with them over the next 3 years.
Mark Ganz is the chair. This is the Standard Classic, you know, formerly known as the LPGA Classic. We've seen Safeway, we've seen Cambia as a title sponsor, now the Standard coming in. All right, how optimistic are you that Portland can stay as a stop on the LPGA Tour? Because, you know, that is a tour that is growing as women's sports grow. they're going to want to see buy-in. How optimistic are you? How confident are you that Portland can be a stop on this tour?
Very confident. I if you'd asked me a year ago before the Standard said yes, I would have been less confident.
Yeah, right.
But that, you know, because you have to have a title. But I'd say the things we're doing, even what we've had to do over the last 3 years without a title sponsor, we still won LPGA awards for the innovation of our tournament. We were told last year by LPGA officials that there is no more efficiently run tournament on their entire calendar. They just can't believe how much we produce, how good of an event we produce for as small of a amount of money as we have had. With the Standard being here now, that really makes a lot of things easier, and particularly because they're all in. But we need to get other sponsors, you know, to believe in Portland enough. And I really think that's the key, John. I think what I've sensed over the last 3 years is caution about not sure whether they want to invest big dollars into Portland events, because they have really mixed feelings about, you know, the people running Portland and all of that.
Sure.
You know, that's been written. And so, but it really does have an impact on, you know, the more confident companies are in the community, the more they want to lean in on big community events. And that's, you know, we're not alone in facing some challenges, you know, the Rose Festival has and others.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm feeling very confident now going forward. We have a great relationship with the LPGA. The players love the course. They like Portland. There's all the momentum to keep it here and grow, but we have to keep pushing to get the purse up and to increase the overall sponsor levels.
Yeah.
So that we can be truly sustainable for the very long term. But I'm going to
give you one thing I think is going to help you guys. And from a PR standpoint,
you've got some money to give me.
I got no money for you, but Rose Zhang, who I mentioned, former Stanford golfer, who is an NCAA champion, and she is on the tour. You know, she's a top 20 golfer right now, but It's fair to say that her pro career has not been what her college career was. She is a draw, though. She is a draw, and here's been my frustration in past years that I think you can be part of a solution for. I need her on this show. I need her to come talk about being a golfer and be on the tour. And in prior years, I think the LPGA golfers have been reticent about making an appearance. And so, certainly somebody who's one of the best stories of the tournament, Michelle Wee in past years, others, they have just been really reluctant to do that kind of, you know, marketing and go do media. I need Rose on this show. I think she'll sell tickets if she comes on the show.
Well, I'll talk to the LPGA and see if I can get in touch with her agent. Usually it's a combination of the LPGA communication staff.
Right.
They're the ones that kind of have, once the players arrive in Portland, the LPGA communication staff is kind of in charge of all of that stuff. Because I know that personal experience when we wanted, players to be interviewed even out at the course.
Right.
Have you thought about, I don't know whether or not you take your show on the road, but, you know, have you thought
about it? We've done it out there. Yeah, we've done the show from there.
Well, you came out to the course. That makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I came out to the course, but, I mean, Rose could do a phone interview, you know, later this week, next week.
Yeah, she could do that too.
Like, it would be really easy to get her on, but I just have found that, you know, sometimes the golfers, they're in their own world. They're focused on the golf. I have found that, like, WNBA players are much more in tune with, hey, we need to get out and we need to market our game. And I think there's been less of that. Like, maybe that they expect the tour to do all the marketing, but to me, the golfers are the tour. And I think, especially on the women's side, I think they could get out and do more media and be more visible. And I think you draw more people to the event. I think I would love to get Rose on the show.
Okay.
You know, so here's me putting in my informal request. See what you can do on that front. But I'll give people some more details on the event. Mark, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. You know, I think it's great that this event is happening at Columbia Edgewater, August 14th through the 17th. You can get tickets at portlandclassic.com. You can even sign up to be a volunteer by going to that website. And the title sponsor now, The Standard. It's called The Standard Portland Classic. Mark, I appreciate you making time. Thanks, man.
Thanks very much, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Mark Ganz. And I'm telling you, get the golfers on the show. People want to know who these athletes are. They want to know who the NBA players are. They want to know the college players. They want to know the NFL and Major League Baseball players. They want to feel like they've got you know, a stake in this thing, and they're invested in this thing. And I feel like that, to me, traditionally has been the miss on the LPGA Tour. And I think some of it is easily explained that golf is it's an individual sport. It is not a team sport. Golfers and tennis players are both guilty of this. They tend to get insulated. They tend to get in their own world. They get a myopia they get a myopic view of their sport and their role in their sport, because having that sweat equity, putting in the extra work on the course, the extra putting, the driving range, the instructions, the round of golf, it is very them against the world oriented. Marketing is the opposite. It's, hey, I got to get out in front of everybody, and I need to talk to a group of people. I need to sell my sport. I need to sell interest in the sport. And I think part of that problem has been just inherent in how athletes, golfers, and tennis players think. They don't think like WNBA players who are going, hey, if we grow the game, this will increase viewership. This can't just be a Caitlin Clark thing. Let's all get involved in kind of talking about our game. The NFL gets it better than anybody. The NFL does a great job of getting their players on a weekly basis, mandatory media appearances and mandatory press conferences. The NBA mandates it as well. Both teams played hard. You know that. It's for the good of the game. It's for, you know, put a face on this thing. The other issue with the LPGA has historically been that you have so many foreign-born players and you have a language barrier that sometimes those interviews don't happen, and maybe there's a cultural difference. And so what happens is, you know, they tend to try to get you, you know, an interview with, hey, Natalie Gilbis, who's got one career win. You know, she's a fun interview. Let's get her on the show. I want Rose Zhang on the show. I've wanted to talk with her since she was having success at Stanford. She's got even more to talk about right now. She could talk about the challenges of turning professional at age 22 and maybe having it not go as she probably expected it. She thought, you know, it was going to be like Tiger Woods. She struggled. It's been disappointing on the LPGA Tour for her. I'd like to get her on the show and talk about it. And I think it would be a great way for her to come on the show and talk to 60 or 80,000 people and have a bunch of people listening to this radio show across the state of Oregon on 7 different stations go, hey, you know, I might go to that event and follow her around the course. You know, if I were the LPGA, I would spend like 5 days, 5 golfers, and get those golfers out and have them do all kinds of radio, all kinds of interviews, all, you know, don't just limit it to, hey, come out to the course and meet us out here. I'll be honest, I went out there years ago and they set up my radio booth next to the practice putting green. Steven, you'll know this. You know, think about this. Think of the logistics of this. You put this guy 10 feet away from the practice putting green on the course on the opening day of the tournament. Okay? What do you think happened, Steven, about 2 minutes into my opening monologue? I'm getting dirty looks from the LPGA golfers who are out on the practice putting green going, why is that guy talking out here? And I wanted to yell back at him and go, hey, I'm trying to get people to your event. Like, I'm out here broadcasting from your event. Are you so dumb that you can't see the value of, you know, like, or like just logistically put me 50 yards away from the putting green, not 10 feet away from the practice putting green. But the idea was they thought, oh, the golfers will come over. Maybe a couple of them will want to be on the show. No, they hated me. They were trying to practice their 8-foot putts, and I was over there talking about my radio show, and they're like, who's the bald what? You know, it was, Steven, it was an absolute nightmare. And I even had somebody from the course itself come over, like the marshal came over and went, hey, is there a way to like kind of turn it down? I'm like, no, this doesn't get turned down. It was just a really interesting study, and I was literally looking at the golfers going, hey, you know, if you want people to come to your event, you kind of need people to be talking about your event.
Yeah, that is that's unfortunate that that's the way it turned out, for sure.
They were just glaring at me.
Because I would feel the same way, too. I'm like, get this guy out of here. Like, I'm trying to get ready for my tournament.
I know,
here.
And I get it. I get it. Like, they're trying to putt. I'm just trying to do a radio show.
You're trying to do your job. They're trying to do their job. That's all that was trying to happen. It was just kind of, you know, unfortunate events there.
But they got mad at me.
Columbia Edgewater is awesome, though. That's the thing. I mean, it's such a beautiful course. I used to work there, so I'm very, partial to them. But
nice. What'd you do there?
I actually was a maintenance guy. Like, I would wake up in the morning and do, the maintenance, water
the
grass.
What is that like? You were like Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Yeah, I'm not the best at, like, yard work and stuff, so they just stuck me on, like, the watering crew. So, like, I would go in the morning, just, like, water the grass, and then later on, to go water the grass and, you know, go hedge a couple of bushes.
It's not on automatic sprinklers?
Well, there are, but you have to water it so much to make it look so nice.
I love that. Yeah. It is a beautiful course. And I'm glad they cleaned up around it. The city of Portland, it was embarrassing there for a while. How, like, you know, I heard from, you know, I went out, I had lunch with Tim Boyle out at Columbia one day. He's the CEO of Columbia Sportswear. And I had a sandwich with him in his office. And he was saying, like, when they bring executives in for interviews, Stephen, they were flying him in at night. Because they didn't want the executives, as they drove them from the airport out to the Columbia headquarters in Beaverton, they didn't want the executives to see the scene around the freeway on-ramps as you were leaving the airport and traveling through downtown, through the corridor there to get out to Beaverton, kind of get out to Highway 26. They didn't want people to see the tarps and the tents and the homelessness. It was embarrassing. And I remember the Portland Diamond Project. You know, Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, they were talking about bringing Major League Baseball commissioner out. They were plotting on, like, could they fly him to a different airport and then helicopter him over downtown so that he never got to kind of see the bad areas of town. And I know, like, Mayor Ted Wheeler at the time, we've had him on the show, the old mayor, he's out now. You know, I think it was a source of embarrassment for him that the city kind of went the direction it went in under his leadership. But it feels to me like there's been a shift. There's been, the sands have shifted, that you know, people have made a real concerted effort to clean up certain areas of the city that were hurting. Of course, you're always going to have homelessness. You're going to have crime. You're going to have people who are battling mental illness. Those things kind of walk hand in hand. But, you know, for a while there, it was off the rails. And one of the areas that really got hit was the area around the entrance to Columbia Edgewater Golf Club, and it was bad. And it was so bad that sponsors were like, we're not in. And it was so bad that golfers were like, we're not coming. And it was so bad that fans were going, we're not coming either. And so they moved the event out. They have a bad experience out, you know, at a new course, and then now they're back. It's seemingly cleaned up. I hope it stays cleaned up. I think it's a big, big, you know, selling point for the city of Portland, and certainly you want to be on that LPGA tour if you're Portland. I want you to leave it here. We got Punch It Audio coming up. I have a lot to say about that. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.